Yeah, thank you. Father God, I just pray that you will undertake now for this word, Father. Lord, I thank you that I am amazed at your faithfulness, Father, and your keeping power. And Lord, to give me the ability to stand here and speak your word. Father, I thank you and I praise you this morning. There's nothing of me, Father God, but it's all of you this morning. Lord, I just pray that I will decrease and you will increase. And Father, I praise you and I thank you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Firstly, this morning, I would like to thank God for my salvation and the privilege of serving him and being able, by the Spirit of God, to share his word. And through the help and guidance of my Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit guiding me into all truth, indwelling in me and you, if you're believers today, I bring this living word to you. And it is a living, active word. And as I was writing this message back last week and the beginning of this week, I was and I am waiting in anticipation to hear what God has to say to us. It's a fresh word, isn't it? Fresh manna. And God's word gives life and hope to the person who receives it this morning. God's word is a living word, and we are told in Scripture, Hebrews 4, verse 12, NIV, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. God sees and knows all things." And God says, he uses the word in the Old King James, piercing. And that word piercing is means to reach through, to penetrate or to pierce. God's word reaches through to the heart this morning. God's word penetrates the heart. The word of God is our only hope. God's word can penetrate the hardest heart to receive salvation. Never doubt that this morning. And God's word is active, enough to penetrate to the bottom of our hearts, to search where we are, and to bring us to a place of conviction, to bring us to the place of conviction through the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. God's word protects us, it cleanses us, it directs us, it is a living word for us to live by. God's word is a protector, and it protects us from the deception of sin and Satan this morning. And Jesus says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" The Old King James Version says, "For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but loses his own soul?" What good is this world with all its riches if they don't know Christ this morning? That really is the bottom line to know Christ this morning. We have our own idea what worldly riches are. We've all got that idea what we would say would be rich or poor. There may be people this Christmas who are in a very awkward place financially, who either struggle or perhaps go to more debt to meet the world's idea of Christmas. Then the other end of the scale is the really rich. What more can they give in terms of gifts? I remember reading somewhere which I thought was lovely. It was Kate, Prince William's wife, and she said she gave the Queen a gift, and I think it was something like a pot of jam or marmalade, a homemade pot of jam, I think she said. And then I think she said she was pleased that the Queen displayed it on the table. It was a personal gift to her grandmother-in-law. But a person's world is empty spiritually without Christ. Yes, there are people who don't know they are lost this morning. God draws them. And there are people who know they are lost. God draws them too this morning. What profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What a powerful verse of scripture this morning. Yet the enemy of this world blinds the unbeliever. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4. The God of this age, talking little God, Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For the believer today, we have riches in heaven and our home belongs there. This time of year, may we be focused on God, Christ, who became flesh and dwelt among us. Scripture says, and we beheld his glory. I thank God that I am saved this morning. I thank God I have a personal relationship with my Heavenly Father, with my Lord Jesus Christ and the precious Holy Spirit in my life. Only one thing that profiteth us today is Christ. Amen. And God's word will always be... You're still on, Craig. Remain, it says anyway. God's word will always reveal what is truly valuable and what is truly worth trusting. We can go back and back again to God's word and it will be fresh manna for the day. God provided his children in the Old Testament in the wilderness with fresh manna daily. And God provides us under the new covenant with Christ himself, the word of God given to us. And today I would like to look at a number of different accounts. It's quite a bit of scripture. You can either follow your Bibles or you can just listen. But if you're following your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, firstly. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Now, not to get confused, we're going to be talking about the birth of John the Baptist and a little bit about John the Baptist. But when I'm talking about John, who's writing this book, he is the author of the book. He is writing the book. He was one of Christ's closest disciples. And it is agreed that he was the author of the book of John. So here we see Luke, Here we see Luke giving us an introduction to the background of John the Baptist. We'll come to John later, the author. We are told in verses 5 and through to verse 23 what happened. Just picking out and summarizing the picture of Zechariah was a priest, and he had a wife named Elizabeth. And they were both righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was unable to conceive because they were both very old. And on the day Zechariah was burning incense for God in the temple, an angel of God appeared to him, and Zechariah was gripped with fear. We read in verse 13, the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you are to call him John." He was told he would be it would be a joy and a delight, and many would rejoice because of his birth, and he would be great in the sight of the Lord. And Zechariah questions, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is along in years." And he doubted what the angel had said. And we read in Luke 1, verse 19. The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. Because of his unbelief and he doubted, he became silent until the birth of his son, John. Because he did not believe God's word, which the angel told him would come true at the appointed time. God works in his appointed time. Ecclesiastes 3:1, there is a time for everything and in a season for every activity under the heavens. When we are in Christ, we can trust and fit into the plan he has for us, a time ordained by God, God's agenda for us, for our lives. God puts our life into place for us. And we read that Elizabeth became pregnant, and she acknowledges that the Lord has shown his favour upon her. And if you turn to Luke 1, verses 57 to 58, when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbours and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared in her joy. Elizabeth gives birth, and Zechariah declares his name is to be called John. He writes it on a tablet. In his obedience, his mouth is opened, and his tongue is set free, and he begins to speak and praise God. Zechariah, filled with the Holy Spirit, prophesying, says of his child in Luke 1:76, And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. God had a plan, and John the Baptist was a vessel to prepare the way for Christ the Messiah. We too, as believers in Christ, can be vessels to prepare the way. How? Through the living word of God. To use God's word to speak life into death. To prepare the way for the Lord, for his salvation, Romans 10:15. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. We have good news to share today with others. We have an active, living word to speak to the people out there. And when things in people's lives come to a desperate place, whether for the believer or unbeliever, the word of God is an anchor for all who receive and put their trust in him. And John the Baptist was to prepare the way. And as I was saying earlier, I was looking in Luke, so I was jumping. But we're speaking of two Johns here, not to be confused with John the Baptist and John the author, which is believed he is the author of the Gospel of John, one of Christ's closest disciples, if not the closest. And John here writes in the book of John, verses 1 to 8, if you want to turn with John to me, with me. I don't need to turn that, I got it written down. John 1, verses 1 to 8, if anybody's following with their Bibles. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him and all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was in the light of all, was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, hallelujah, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. What a powerful living word. Are we a testimony sharing God's light to a world of darkness this morning? The very beginning was Christ, the Word. And Christ was with God, intimate with God, and Christ was God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Verse 14, the Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. And John records, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Have you seen Christ today? Do you know this grace and truth for yourselves? Do you understand the message of Christ, who came to dwell among us, became flesh to live and die in our place? The world may stay and look at the crib this year, and many do, and many never go to the cross. Talking of Christ here, Philippians 2 verse 6, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. That is the reason for Christmas, why he came, to pay the debt of our sin, a debt we could not pay, to bring us back into relationship with the Father. And John the Baptist prepared the way, but Christ himself alone was and is the way. John 14 verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And John the Baptist knew this. He cried out in John 1 verse 15, we read, this is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me. Christ there at the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1 verses 16 to 18. Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with me, the Father has made known. Has made him known. Do you know the Father today through Christ? Jesus is the way, the only way to salvation. And if you turn with me to Luke 1, 26 to 38. Luke 1, 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Mary was a chosen vessel, blessed among women to carry and give birth to Christ the Messiah. Mary was a young Jewish girl who was betrothed to a man named Joseph, and betrothal in the Jewish custom was a time of engagement that was as binding as marriage. And here we read in Luke 1 verse 26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged, betrothed to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the angel greets her, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. To know God is with us, we're not alone this morning. Mary is troubled at his words and wonders what kind of greeting this might be. The angel tells her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. And Mary asks the angel, how will this be, since I am a virgin? Mary was just a young Jewish girl, brought up in the Old Testament Jewish traditions. I wonder what went through her mind, her anxieties maybe, in anticipation to what the angel had said. We read she was greatly troubled at his greeting and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. And the angel goes on to say, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. She says, how will this be? In our lives we can have what we think are great barriers in the natural, but if God chooses to remove them, he can. There are times in our lives, seasons, appointed times, we can ask God, how will this be? How will this be? And when circumstances of life are not what we can understand or fathom, but God with his eternal purpose in our hearts can give us rest. I believe the angel rested Mary's heart because she in obedience says, I am the Lord's servant, may your word be fulfilled in me. Do we surrender to what God asks of us? Mary surrendered to God's calling on her life. She trusted God's word. And in verse 37 we read, for no word from God will ever fail. As believers, we need to trust in the spiritual realm, not the natural realm this morning. God's word is active and living. It will accomplish all it is sent out to do. And may we as believers today walk according to the Spirit of God and know his will for our lives through his word. Isaiah 55 verse 11, so my word that goes out of my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Christ came to seek and save the lost. God is just asking us to share the word. We need to share the word, and God does the rest. That was his purpose why Christ came. He came to seek and to save and save the lost. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I am so glad that God penetrated my heart today with the word of Jesus. I know this grace on my life. I can speak of this grace on my life. I can testify of this grace on my life. God's riches at Christ's expense. He paid my debt in full. I am grateful. I cannot earn it. I don't deserve it. But God bestowed his favor upon me because my greatest need is salvation today. And if you turn with Luke, turn to Luke 1, 39 to 45. I'll put that out of the way there a minute. Maybe two. Luke 1, 39 to 45. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zachariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Here we see two women coming together, Mary and Elizabeth. I love that union of the two women coming together, and beautiful union of two women in fellowship. And this meeting, I'm sure, was full of joy and anticipation. So much so that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. This meeting was no ordinary meeting. They joined in fellowship. Christ-centered, Messiah-centered fellowship. I can just begin to enter into their joy as a believer in Christ. And only through the joy of the Holy Spirit can I understand the joy and fellowship for these women. I know with God, when I come together with a like-minded believer, sometimes the joy of the Lord can overflow in my heart and it cannot be contained, but flows out in worship only because of God's favor upon me. And as Elizabeth says, in a loud voice, praise can be loud this morning, church. It doesn't need to be quiet. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you carry. That is praise this morning. She says, why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? We too, if born again today, if we are saved through faith in Christ today, can say, why am I so favoured that God should come to me? Are you like the baby in Elizabeth's womb, leaping for joy that Christ has come to you today? Mary goes on in praise in verse 46 of Luke 1. My soul, Mary says, glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. Mary needed a Saviour also. Are you rejoicing in God your Saviour this morning? I hope so. You know, Mary had to receive and acknowledge Christ as her Saviour, the same as us today, even though she was blessed among women. This joy, this rejoicing, so often the enemy will try and rob us of. That's what he does. But the Word of God tells us in John 1 verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Whatever darkness the enemy will try and bring, we who have the light of life dwelling in us will walk in the light. There will still be, even through the darkest times, a flicker of hope for the believer. The light, Jesus Christ himself, will not be extinguished in our lives. Isaiah 42 verse 3, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. What an amazing, compassionate, loving, tender God we serve. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Even when we are at our darkest, lowest point, Christ Emmanuel, God is with us. If we turn to Matthew chapter 1, Matthew chapter 1, 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate the marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. God ministered to both Mary and Joseph individually. They were to become one flesh in marriage, but God spoke to them individually as he does today. It is the same with salvation. It is a personal relationship with God. We cannot rely on someone else's faith. Maybe someone will say, I was brought up in a Christian home, or all very good and lovely if you have. But if you have never received Christ as your personal Saviour, it will profit you nothing. And God is so amazing because he calmed and reassured Mary to trust his word. And he does the same for Joseph. Joseph was about to divorce her quietly. As the engagement period was legally binding, requiring a divorce to break it, but we read God intervened. Joseph did not want to expose her publicly to public disgrace. What a display of love Joseph showed. What a testimony he was, and what a servant of God Joseph was. Scripture tells us after he had considered this, talking of Joseph, I wonder what his mind was thinking. Maybe what would people say? Or often do we worry about what people say? Maybe God has asked us to do something for him, and are we concerned about how it will be done? God equips his servants perfectly, as he did for Mary and Joseph. He stills his servants through his word, and the angel appears to Joseph in a dream. Do not be afraid, Joseph, son of David, to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Joseph was a devout man, faithful to the law, and God revealed his will to Joseph. Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. We read Joseph wakes up and in total obedience takes Mary home as his wife. And when God speaks to our hearts and reassures us through the Holy Spirit working within us, he calms and stills and confirms to us his will for our lives. We just need to keep our minds stayed upon God to receive God's peace in our situations. I wonder what the conversation was like between Joseph and Mary. God had confirmed to them individually their service of obedience together as one flesh. What a blessing for them both, and what a blessed marriage. Mary was told the Holy Spirit would come on her, and the power of the Most High would overshadow her. The precious Holy Spirit who overshadows his own today. In John 16 verse 3, we see that the Holy Spirit is the work of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Christ, to comfort and to guide. And John 16 verse 13 tells us, but when the Spirit of truth comes, Jesus says, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. What a privilege to have the Holy Spirit today to guide us and to tell us the will of Christ for our lives. And Psalm 91, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Only through the virgin conception could Jesus be both God and man, and thus make atonement for sin. We know nothing with God. God, nothing is impossible with God. Amen. And in Luke 2 we read that Mary gives birth to her firstborn son, and she wraps him, she puts him in a manger, or a feeding trough, an animal's feeding trough. And she wraps him in swaddling clothes. And when we see the circumstances surrounding Mary's birth, it wasn't easy. But God had promised he was with her. God still promises that today. There was no room available for Christ to be born. And it's still the same today. People have no room for Christ. And yet we know that salvation is of God. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon a person's life to convict of sin, and the Father draws us to Jesus, our hearts begin to open up to receive him. We can only make room when salvation comes to our hearts. Jesus said in John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And we read the shepherds are out in the fields, and the angel of the Lord appears to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. If you turn to Luke 2:10-20. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Heaven could not contain its joy. Suddenly, a great company, not one angel, but suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God. I thought that's a foretaste of what praise will be like around the throne of heaven. The shepherds of the day, what we are told through history, were classed as outcasts, dishonest and unclean according to the law. But God chose to reveal the Messiah's birth to them. God has chosen to reveal the Messiah to us today. What grace, what favor. The shepherds go to seek Jesus. They go in haste. They hurry off to find him. I can remember hurrying to find Jesus myself, running to him. And they were compelled to go. Have you ever been compelled to do what God has asked of you? That compelling of the Holy Spirit. It's a real tangible, you can't put it into words, but you know when God asks you to do something, you just know. Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favour rests. I am so glad God's favour has rested on my life today, and I'm sure you are too. And when they see him, they spread the word concerning what has been told about the child. All the people who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. I wonder if people out there who'd never heard the gospel, if we had shared the gospel with them, would they be amazed that a Christ has come to earth, God incarnate, to take their sin that they can walk free? Are the people out there who are just lost and they don't know and they've never heard the message? These people were amazed at what the shepherds had to say. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. We have the same message today as the shepherds have, to spread the word. The one the holy prophet had said about long ago, the long-awaited Messiah, the promise fulfilled. The people were amazed at what the shepherds said, and we are told Mary treasured up all these things in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God, first evangelists of the day. And Jesus chose the shepherds, the outcasts. Jesus chooses the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. Jesus came to save the sinner. And can we, like the Apostle Paul, who said of himself, concerning his sin, of whom I am chief, can we say that in our hearts today? I know I can. When we know and acknowledge the depth of our sin, we can then glorify in his saving grace and favour today. Mary was a lowly, humble servant, chosen by God, not of this world's status, but what God had chosen to show his greatness. Matthew 23, verse 12, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. We are not told they had brought any expensive gifts, like the wise men, but they had seen the Messiah, and they returned home praising and glorifying him. We have only ourselves to give to Christ today, but may it be a heart of praise out of a forgiven soul this morning. We read that after the time of purification, after she'd had the baby, there was about a time after Mary's birth, it was about 40 days, and they go to the temple and present baby Jesus to the Lord. And there was a man called Simeon who was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. We read how the Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. He was moved by the Spirit, and he goes on to see the child Jesus, and Simeon takes him in his arms and praises God. Luke 2, if you turn with me to Luke 2, 25-35. Luke 2, 25-35. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit. Compelled by the Spirit. He went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the light of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. And the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. I thank God that I can say today that I have seen God's salvation. I know who Christ is, and I received this revelation of who Christ is today, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. He says to Mary what the child's life would be like. It would be spoken, he would be spoken against, he would be opposed, and we see that right through Scripture, and a sword would pierce her own heart. We see through Scripture how Mary suffered through Jesus' life, and she saw him to the cross. And we read in Matthew's account, we won't go into it because for time, but we read in Matthew's account, the wise men, they bring gifts and they see the star and they come and worship him too. And we are told they are overjoyed. But so often we see the wise men at the stable, but we are told that they came to the house, not the stable, and they saw the child, not the baby. And so their journey to see the Messiah would have taken longer, quite a bit longer. But nevertheless, they came and they worshipped Jesus. And so we read in finishing this morning, John 1, 1 and 2, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. God incarnate, the Son of God, took on flesh in bodily form. Fully God, fully man. Heaven came down to meet earth. We read Simeon's eyes seized God's salvation. He held the Messiah in his arms and praised God and said, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. We can only take Christ with us in this world to the next. Only Christ we need as our Saviour to depart from this life to the next. Simeon was moved by the Holy Spirit to go to the temple courts to see the Saviour, the Messiah, the promise. And God moves hearts today to see Christ, to receive him. Salvation belongs to God. And he is coming back, church. No longer in the crib. No longer on the cross. John 14:1-6. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's up to verse 6. I won't read no more. I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said to his disciples and us who belong to him today through faith in Christ, I am going to prepare a place for you. And Jesus said, I will come back and take you to be with me, that we also may be where Christ is. What an assurance this morning. What a hope we have for the believer today. And you know, I was thinking people today, not just Christmas, every day, people are going around their daily routines, living their own lives without Christ. And I suppose Christmas time, we even notice it even more, because as Christians, we use Christmas as a way of remembering Christ's birth, but then we remember it every day, and we remember his death every day for us. but it sort of highlights the world, sort of brings it in our faces, if you like. The world sort of puts it in our faces, their Christmas. And but we can use this time to share the message and the gospel of Christ. But I think we realise it more when people are rushing round and there's no Christ there for them, and they're lost. And just to finish with this scripture this morning, just for us, that Jesus is coming back and we need to be ready. Matthew 24, verses 36 to 44. As I said, as people out there rushing round, doing the things that they do, and no sight of Jesus. And in Matthew 24, we read 24, verses 36 to 44. Jesus is talking of his return. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen till the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would have not left his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. I can be guilty of focusing on the world's Christmas, of the tinsel and the tree, but I think the more mature you get in Christ, the more that means nothing to you, and Christ means everything to you. And I just pray today that Christ is coming back, and as believers, may we be expecting his return. May it be in the forefront of our minds that he could come back at any time. And the scripture says, so you also must be ready. He's talking to the believers. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that salvation is found in you alone. And Father, I thank you that you came, God incarnate, came in flesh, in bodily form, to come and die for the sinner today. You were the sinner's saviour. And you went to the cross and you hung and you died in our place to pay the penalty and the debt for our sin. And you returned to the Father, but you were coming back. And Father God, just as this portion of scripture says, as in the days of Noah, people were doing their own thing. They just done what they wanted, Lord. But Father, there was a time when Noah shut the door. The door was shut. God shut the door on the ark. And Father, I just pray today, Lord, that may, as believers, may we be ready. May we be ready for your return, to know that it could happen today. But Lord, no one knows. But Lord, may we know only the Father. But may we know, Father God, that may we be found in Christ, salvation secure in Christ. And it is our greatest need of all. Father, I thank you today. Just speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, just convict, comfort, guide. Whatever you do, your word will go out and it will not return to you empty. So, Father, speak to our hearts and help us, Lord, to share this wonderful message of Christ wherever we go. Lord, when we've got an opportunity, may it not be around trees and tinsel and all the pretty things, but, Lord, may it be around the saving message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, Father, I thank you today. You are such an awesome, faithful God. In Jesus' name, amen.